From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, this is Alan Cairns with you to say hello and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in as we turn once more to the Word of God. This week our studies are in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. We're looking at God's goal for His people, summed up in three very simple but very profound and far-reaching statements. So stay with us. Today our daily devotional Bible study is taken from Job chapter 5 and verse 26. And our thought for the day will be from the great Methodist preacher from England, George Whitefield, the man who was, I suppose, the true founder of Methodism and the great evangelist of revival in the 18th century, both in England and in the United States. But first, Job 5:26, ripe for harvest, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. In these words, there's a beautiful picture of the death of a Christian, the passing from this scene of time of one who is in a right relationship with God, the absolute certainty of the limitations placed upon our earthly span is plainly announced. Thou shalt come to thy grave. It's wise to consider our latter end and to prepare for it. The Bible likens the departure of a believer from this world to a shock of corn ready for harvest, fully ripened, fully developed. Every child of God is ready for the reaper. Our text does not say that every Christian comes to the grave in old age. It declares that every Christian comes to the grave in full age. Not all Christians live to old age. Nevertheless, everyone who walks with God lives to his full age. They remain until their work is done, until their race is won, and until their course is finished. A young couple were called to serve the Lord in the jungles of Brazil. They trained and prepared themselves for the task. Eventually, the way was opened up for them to depart from their native Belfast in Northern Ireland, and they set out for Brazil. Upon arriving in Brazil by ship, they had to commence another long journey up the Amazon River and then into its tributaries. The young woman took ill. She died on the boat. Her distraught husband had to dig her grave, for none was willing to help him, and bury her alongside the bank of the river, near to a village where there was no hearing for the gospel. When news of her death reached her loved ones back in Northern Ireland, many were speechless with shock and dismay. Today, near where her body is buried, through her husband's witness and testimony, carried out amid sorrow and adversity, there is a thriving Christian church operating in the village. Nevertheless, the strangest of all these events was the dead missionary's last letter home, written as she journeyed up the Amazon. After signing her name, she wrote after it John 17, verse 4. That verse reads, I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. She was just a young woman, I believe in her 20s, but she had reached her full age. She was ready to go home. George Whitefield said, "We are immortal till our work is done." If you're a regular listener to Let the Bible Speak, you will no doubt have heard me mention the booklet Separated Unto the Gospel. Let me tell you a little more about it, and perhaps you'll decide you would like to receive a free copy. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church here in North America, and this booklet aims to tell you what you need to know about our church. In a time when mainline Presbyterianism has become increasingly apostate, some people are surprised to find Presbyterians who still believe the Bible and stand for it without apology or compromise. Free Presbyterians are not the only Presbyterians who do this. There are other faithful men and churches, and we thank the Lord for them. However, they are increasingly difficult to find, and we want to kneel our colours to the mast. We believe the Bible and seek to be faithful to it in every area. The booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, sets forth a very brief historical sketch of how the Free Presbyterian Church came into being and what its doctrines and practices are. We know that in an age when there are so many charlatans and compromisers of Scripture around, people are justly wary of anything with which they are not familiar. We hope this booklet will help you to get to know us a little better. We'd be happy to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. So if you'd like to have the booklet Separated Unto the Gospel, make sure you write or call. We look forward to hearing from you. Continuing with our studies in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, on the subject of God's goal for His people, we come today to note that God's goal is first progress and this is our theme for today, fullness. God's goal for His people is that they enjoy His fullness. Now let's turn to see what the Scriptures teach us on that subject. Well, verse 16, of His fullness have all we received, and grace upon grace, grace piling on top of grace. That's how He describes it, fullness. You remember what the psalmist said, in Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, I know that's true of the eternal state, but it's true now. That's why when we get to the New Testament, it speaks of fullness regarding every area of Christian experience. There's a fullness of assurance. I don't want to get into church history and especially historical theology this morning. It's a fascinating study. But one of the marks of the Protestant Reformation was their doctrine of assurance. Then, as now, it ran contrary to the dictates of papal theology, which then held and still held that assurance in this life is impossible. The reformers, on the other hand, spoke of assurance as being normal. Some of them went even further and made it essential. I think they were wrong on that. But I can understand how they reached it. It's because they themselves were enjoying, as did the apostle, such a fullness of assurance. This is what he says to the Colossians here in chapter 2, verse 2. The full assurance of understanding. Speaks again of the same fullness of assurance in Hebrews 10 and 22. There's a fullness of hope. The hope of a Christian is not the vague wish that something good will happen. There was a thing that soloists in Northern Ireland, I'm sure they did it here too, for this was an American production. But soloists in Northern Ireland, forgive me if I say that sometimes soloists are the dumbest people on earth.
in that if they like the tune, they'll sing anything. I have heard Christians sing their greatest load of heretical rubbish. If I was to preach it, I'd get thrown out on my ear. But they can sing it because it has a nice little tune to it. And there was a while, one of them actually came to my church, and she was a very nice singer. And the strange thing is, a very good and godly woman. But on this occasion, she sang her swan song, because she came and she sang this rubbish. Something good is going to happen to you. I said, that's enough of that. If that's the gospel, God help us, we're in trouble. If that's the gospel, we are in trouble. I don't even think there's help from God for such a gospel. That's rubbish. That's not the hope of a Christian. What is the hope of a Christian? It's an assured hope. And it's a full hope. It's an overflowing certainty. That's the glory, you see, of biblical hope. It's not an uncertain thing. Biblical hope is a certainty that we're waiting for in the knowledge it's going to happen. That's biblical hope. There's a fullness of joy. A fullness of joy. Doesn't say a fullness of happiness. There'll be times when you're not particularly happy. I have to be honest, if I get a blinding headache, I don't feel terribly happy. If you have had the misfortune to be one of those people in the area recently who had the stomach flu, I'm sure you weren't feeling particularly happy about it. But joy goes a lot deeper. Do you ever try to define joy? I'd like you to try it. You'll find it's not an easy word to define, because we naturally go to stick it into the category of mere happiness, which I always emphasize in English, not in Hebrew or Greek or Latin, but in English. It is a word related to what is happening. Joy goes much deeper than that. Let me give you some lines that you may pursue as you try to define joy. Joy is deep-hearted pleasure. It's that which is pleasing to the soul. It's a pleasure in the experience of what God has done for us, what Christ is doing for us, and in the prospect of what He is yet to do for us. Unlike happiness, which focuses on the moment, joy focuses on the Master. And there is a fullness of joy, according to 1 Peter 1 verse 8. There's a fullness of goodness. Paul wrote to the Romans of this in chapter 15 and verse 14. There's a fullness of goodness. Oh, how often we lament the wickedness of the old heart. The flesh with all its propensity to betray the work of grace and fight the movement of the Spirit. The flesh is so corrupt that Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And the mind of the flesh is incapable of being changed. It must be subjugated. Must be defeated. That's what he was teaching to the church at Rome. But yet, despite that, he says, you can have a fullness of goodness. And to sum it all up, you can live, as he put it in one of my favorite expressions in the whole New Testament, in Romans 15:29, in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Work backwards. Christ. The gospel of Christ. the blessing of the gospel of Christ, the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. That's what there is for God's people, and that's God's goal for us. I've said many times from this pulpit that there are certain passages of Scripture to which I constantly revert, and especially when I'm down or troubled, I will come back to these well-worn passages. 1 Peter chapter 1 is one such passage. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's great prayer for the Ephesians, that's another such passage. And especially Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's other great prayer in Ephesians for the church there. And he prayed for them, if we could break in at verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God, or the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. And then this tremendous statement, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What does that mean? In ultimate terms, I can't tell you, because it defies definition. It goes beyond anything I can define. But let me put this to you. When God communicated to the Lord Jesus Christ fullness, you see, there is in Christ a fullness that belongs to his deity, but there is a fullness given him as the mediator by which God, according to his covenant, communicated to him the fullness of the gifts and the graces, the power and the ability necessary for the completion of his work. We read some of this from Isaiah chapter 11 during the Christmas services, when there was the promise of the Spirit in the sevenfold fullness of the Spirit that God gave to Christ the mediator. Now, when he communicated fullness to him, what was it? It was the abounding ability to fulfill the will of God for him. Now, on a different level, what does it mean to be filled with all the fullness of God? It means to receive from him in abounding fullness all the gifts and all the graces that are necessary to live the Christian life right up to the standard of the will of God for us. God's goal for us individually and as a church is progress. God's goal for us individually and as a church is fullness. And God's goal for us individually and as a church is holiness. And you'll see how he sets this goal before us in three major areas, and I will have time only to sketch them out. He speaks first of the will of God, that ye might be filled with the full or developed or mature knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Or, as I think the text would indicate, we could switch where spiritual is, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. What's he saying here? The discovery of God's will. That's what we must know. We must know what it is. And then conformity to God's will. I repeat a quotation, or as near as I can remember to it being a quotation, from Dr. Bob Jr. He used to say that God does not reveal his will to people in order for them to question it. God does not reveal His will to us to speculate upon. God does not reveal His will to us to argue about. God reveals His will to us to obey it, to fulfill it. The discovery of God's will, that you might be filled with this knowledge and conformity to God's will in all that follows, in bringing it out in our lives.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.